Welcome to the Shiur in Svarno Parshas Vo'era. The Shiur this evening is sponsored by Mrs. Chana Goldman, marking the yardside tonight of her father, Moshe ben Yaakov. The neshama should have an aliyah. She should see much nachas ruach in the Torah mitzvahs and ma'isim tovim that the family is involved in. Beginning of Perek Zayin in Parshas Vo'era, we read how HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes what's going to happen when Moshe Rabbeinu approaches Paro. It says, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Erin Satichah Elohim leFaro, Yaron Ochicha Yeren Viecha." Hashem says to Moshe, "I'm going to make you a master for Paro. Aaron will be your spokesman. You'll convey all of the requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to let the Jewish people go free." Says Hashem, "I will harden the heart of Paro, and I will increase my signs and my wonders in the lands of Egypt." And then it continues in Dalad, "V'lo yishma lechem Paro." Paro is still not going to listen, despite all of the signs and wonders which Hashem is going to send. I will send my hand against the Egyptians. I'll punish the Egyptians. And I will use great judgments to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim." This concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardens Paro's heart, as we probably know, is subject to great discussion among the Rishonim, really goes back to Chazal themselves, because it appears as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking away the Bechira Chofshis, the free will of Paro. In other words, Paro on his own might have let the Jewish people go free, but the Pasuk says, "Vani Aksha Slave Paro." HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I'm going to harden his heart," so despite his natural inclination to let the Jewish people go free, he will not do so. If that is the case, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking away the free will of Paro, how do we understand that? Isn't Bechira Chofshis, isn't the notion that a person has free will and can choose to either sin or not sin something that's fundamental to Yiddishkeit itself? So before we see the Svarno, it's worth noting the very famous comments of the Rambam. Certainly by the time we get through sharing them, they'll be even more famous. The famous comments that the Rambam makes with regard to this issue. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shuva Perek Vav Halacha Beis, "Ve'efsho shiyechta adam chait gadol o chatoim rabim." It's possible that a person will sin a terrible sin or many sins. "Ad sheyitein hadin lifnei dayan ha'emes sheyeh apiron mizeh hachote al chatoim eila she'osa birtzono midaito." The sins will be so terrible and so grievous that the dayan ha'emes, the true judge, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will determine that the punishment for the incredible sins that this person has committed is shemonin mimenu hatshuva, that we prevent this person from doing tshuva. "Ve'ein manichin lo rishus lo shuv meirisho." And from heaven, they do not give him permission to repent, to give up his evil. "Kidei shiyomus v'yevad b'cheto shiyase." Such that person dies and is eternally lost because of his sins. "L'fikach kosuv b'tor v'aniach hazek eslev paro." Continues the Rambam, and an example of this is what it says in the Torah, our pasuk, "Hashem strengthens the heart of Paro, nosan hadin limnoa tshuva mimenu ad shenifra mimenu." Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu had decided that Paro's sins were so terrible that he deserved to be punished in a most spectacular way, the way in which Paro was punished is that his Bechira Chofshis, his free will, was taken away from him. He had no choice at a certain point but to sin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them accordingly. So here you have a really incredible idea that the Rambam is saying in Hilchos Teshuvah, that although it's true, Bechira Chavshes, free will, is one of the cornerstones of Yiddishkeit, you know, that a person can choose to do the right thing, to do the wrong thing, there are occasions where the person sins so terribly that Bechira Chavshes, that free will, is actually taken away from the person. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you're such a terrible sinner, we're just going to keep pushing you over the edge till you get punished. And a prime example of that is Paro. When it comes to Paro, it's indeed true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his Bechira Chavshes. At a certain point, he had no choice but to sin. And that inability to make a choice itself was part of the punishment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed upon Paro. So different other Rishonim say versions of that same idea, which the Rambam says. I mentioned that by way of introduction, because when we take a look at the Svarno, we'll see that the Svarno has a very, very different approach to this issue, and it's useful to contrast the approach with the Svarno with the approach of the Rambam. The Svarno on Perek Zayin Posuk Gimel writes as follows. Hine b'yos hakel chafes b'tshuvas v'sho'im v'lo b'misosam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want Rishoim to die. He wants Rishoim to do tshuva. How do we know that? It's a pasuk in Yechezkel. Ka'amro, it's a pasuk that we very often quote around the Yomim Noroim. Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Gimel, Chai Oni Ne'um Hashem. I swear, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Echpots B'mos HaRosha, I don't want the Rosha to die. Ki Im Meshuv Rosha Midarko V'choya, I want even the Rosha to repent his ways so that he can live. So in other words, it's a cornerstone, says the Svarno, it's a cornerstone of our understanding of Yiddishkeit, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to enable the tshuva of Rishoyim. He does not want to destroy Rishoyim. Again, he only wants to destroy Rishoyim if they do the wrong thing. But, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would far, far prefer that the Rishoyim all do tshuva. So therefore, Omar Shiyarbes Ososov Yasmovsov. It's for that reason that the pasuk describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to multiply his signs and his wonders in Egypt. That's the second half of this pasuk. The first half of the pasuk says, "Vani aksha eslev paro," I will harden the part of Paro. But then the second part says, "Virbasi esososai v'yasmofsai be'eretz Mitzrayim," I will multiply the number of wonders which I am performing in Mitzrayim, i.e. the 10 makos. What is the purpose of the 10 makos? So the Svarno says, the purpose of the 10 makos is to get the Egyptians, and we'll see in a moment, including Paro, to do tshuva. V'ze lo hoshiv es ha-mitzrim b'tshuva, b'odia lohem godlo v'chazdo, b'oso suvamovsim. The point of the 10 makos is to get the Egyptians to do tshuva. They should be overwhelmed by the incredible of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by his ability to bend nature. And that should get them to do tshuva, to repent. Now, let's just mention something. We spoke about this last week, and we'll see this recurs in the discussion we're going to have tonight. The Svarno does distinguish between the first 9 makos and makas b'choros. Makas b'choros, he says, is a punishment that the Egyptians deserved because they had mistreated Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael is called the Bechor, the firstborn of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a punishment. But the first 9 makos are not so much a punishment as they are an incentive for the Mitzrayim, for the Egyptians to do tshuva. Look at the incredible way I can bend nature. So, you know, listen up, it's now time to do tshuva. That's the point of these 9 makos. And he says, the pasuk says later on, Perek Tes, Ba'avur zos hem maticha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveys through Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro, I've kept you alive for this purpose, Ba'avur haroscha eskochi, that you should see my power. Why should you see my power? You should see my power, says the Svarno, so that you do tshuva. So the whole point of the makos is to get Paro and the Mitzrayim to do tshuva. V'imzeh, in addition to this, hoysa kavona shiso yiru v'yiro'u. The makos were also meant to instill a certain fear of God in the Jewish people. Ka'amro, as the pasuk there says, Leman shisio sosai elo bekirbo, I'm placing these wonders in your midst. Leman tisapir ba'oznei bincho ven bincho is asher salauti b'mitzrayim, and that you, the Jewish people, should tell the future generations what I did against the Egyptians. Okay, so the purpose of the makos is to get the Mitzrayim to do tshuva. But how do you reconcile that view with the fact that Paro's heart is being hardened? That would seem to be the very opposite of what the Sfarno is saying. The Sfarno is saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give the Egyptians every opportunity to do tshuva, but he's preventing Paro from doing tshuva. So how does that work? So listen to the following, and again, we'll note how different this is from the Rambam with which we began the shiur tonight. Ve'ein sofek shulule hachbodas halev hoyu paro mishaleach es Yisrael b'li sofek. There's no doubt that had Hashem not hardened the heart of Paro, he would have let the Jewish people go at a much earlier point. So what's wrong with that? That would have been exactly what, you know, that seems to be in everybody's best interest, a win-win situation. Paro wins, the Jews win, so why then harden Paro's heart? So says the Sfarno, lo al tzad tshuva v'hachna lo kel yisporach, she yisnachem yos morid, af al pi shehilo v'tuvo, ela al tzad hayoso bilti yochol yispol odes tzaras hamakos. Says the Sfarno, had Paro let the Jewish people go at an earlier point because of the tremendous makos that were brought upon him, that wouldn't have been real tshuva. Real tshuva doesn't mean, stop hitting me, it hurts. Real tshuva means, I subjugate myself to Hashem. I recognize that I rebelled against him. I recognize that I was wrong. And I recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great and a source of goodness. Had Paro said all of that, or thought all of that, so that would have been real tshuva. However, had, let's say, Paro said after Makas Dam, this is crazy, I can't stand this anymore, I hate the taste of blood. Here, I signed up for Perrier. And, you know, it's like I'm drinking blood all the time. Had Paro said that, you know, so that's not real tshuva. A desire to escape punishment alone doesn't constitute tshuva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to get Paro to the point where he could do real tshuva. And getting Paro to that point meant giving Paro the wherewithal to say no to letting the Jewish people go, to withstand the makos. Because if the makos only got Paro to the point where he said, the Jews can go, I'm fed up with this, I can't deal with these makos anymore, to have been actual tshuva.
Is there a difference
in right, so it's a very interesting question. So let's step back and take a look at this in a Jewish context. Let's say a Jew says, I want to do tshuva because I can't stand these punishments, or I'm afraid of punishment. So generally speaking, again, we say that tshuva that comes from yira, from fear of punishment, is inferior to tshuva that comes from ahava, but it's not nothing. It's significant. If a person does tshuva out of yira, so, you know, we consider that to be tshuva. So is the point over here that Paro wasn't, you know, that Paro's tshuva meyira isn't considered to be tshuva? So I think there are two different ways to answer this question. And again, we have to see if we can figure out if one of these is necessarily correct. One is what you're suggesting, that maybe there's a difference between Jews and non-Jews. Maybe the bar for a non-Jew is held higher. In other words, a Jew, you know, to engage in tshuva really means that you have to do the real tshuva. Tshuva out of ava, out of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not simply tshuva out of a fear of punishment, you know, but maybe part of the mercy that God has on the Jewish people is that he accepts a lower level of tshuva as well. Another way to understand it is that what the Sfarno is describing is not even tshuva out of fear. Meaning, tshuva out of fear means I recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I I subjugate myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I recognize that it's wrong to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the reason that I recognize all of those things is because I don't, you know, I don't want him to hit me again, or I don't want him to hit me in the future, right? Had what Paro is expressing, perhaps, is not even that. Paro is saying, I don't have a problem rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I don't really recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I don't subjugate myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it happens to be right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the upper hand. In other words, I don't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being my master. I don't see myself as a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on any level. You know, right now he has better artillery. But if I were to get better artillery, I would come right back at him. I don't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion in any way whatsoever. So arguably, that is not considered tshuva for anybody. Right, so it could be that that's the point that the Sfarno is making, that it's not so much a distinction between Jews and non-Jews, but that the tshuva, the quote-unquote tshuva of Paro is so inferior that it doesn't even qualify as tshuva meyira. It doesn't even qualify as tshuva out of a sense of fear. We'll see if we can. I'm not sure which one it is. I mean, maybe we'll see if we can try to clarify that a little bit as we continue to go through the piece. Well, again, what does it mean that you don't recognize Hashem? So I don't think it means that he necessarily didn't think the Makos were coming from Hashem. But in other words, as opposed to recognizing that Hashem is the supreme power in the universe, right? It was possible for Pyro to say, okay, there are multiple gods. That was certainly his perspective. And this god happens to be really powerful. But you know what? If I tried hard enough, you know, maybe I could find another god who would, you know, take my side, and he could this other god. You know, in other words, that's the way he might have looked at it. In which case, you know, his letting the Jews go free wouldn't really be a statement of saying, I recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate ruler of the universe. It's just a way of saying, look, he beat me this time, you know, but I'll be back. By the way, so the Lashon then, as we keep going through the Sfarno writes that Zos lo hoisa tshuva klal, right? The aforementioned kind of surrender that Paro might have engaged in other words, let's let the Jewish people go because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hitting me over and over again, this is not called tshuva at all. So again, the question is not called tshuva for anybody, or is this something unique to Paro because, or, you know, something that's true of the non-Jewish world, but in the Jewish world this would be acceptable? It sounds, I think, a little bit more like the Sfarno is saying, that it's not a Jewish versus non-Jewish distinction. It's not just this, you know, to say I give up, I surrender, but I still don't really acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the ruler of the universe. That's not even called tshuva. You know, it falls short of anything. It's not even tshuva meyira, you know, that the person's engaging in. He writes, but then he goes on to say as follows: Avol. Im hoyo paro chafetz lehikona lokel yisparach v'lo shuvei lov b'tshuva shlema. Had Paro indeed wanted to engage in the proper kind of tshuva, a tshuva where he recognizes Hashem as the master of the universe, and he's not just surrendering because I can't take it anymore, but rather, you know, I'm acknowledging that I am a servant before the master who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Had he done that, lo hayo lo mizeh shum monea, nothing would have prevented Paro from doing that. So this stands in marked contrast to the position of the Rambam. Right? The Rambam is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away Paro's ability to do tshuva on any level. He was not able to do tshuva, even had he wanted to. Again, maybe that's something that happened at a certain point in time, as the Rashi and the Ramban discuss. You know, maybe... Right. So, I mean, but you know, maybe the first five Makos, you know, maybe Paro still had the chance to repent. Maybe later on he lost the chance to repent. You know, again, he did a big sin, you know. But the Sfarno is coming from a radically different position of from the Rambam. You know, the Sfarno basically is saying there is nothing that stands in the way of true tshuva. You know, if you really want to do tshuva, even if you're a Paro, you can do tshuva. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hardened his heart because that was necessary to ensure that the tshuva that he would do would be real. But had he, you know, had he really engaged in the kind of tshuva Arno says is what's required to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of the world, so nothing could have stood in the way of that tshuva. And indeed, just to put that together with something that we mentioned previously, the whole point of the first 9 Makos was to try to get Paro and the Egyptians to engage in that very kind of tshuva. So in other words, after Makas Dam, had Paro said, there's only one God and I am his servant, and therefore I'm sending the Jewish people free, Kadosh Baruch Hu would have said, great, you know. I mean, it sounds like Makas Bechoros still would have come, but they would have jumped from Dam to Makas Bechoros, because Makas Bechoros was the necessary punishment, and then they would have moved on. In other words, it was not necessary to have all of the rest of the Makos had Paro and the Mitzrayim done tshuva.
What was the logic of trying to get the Mitzrayim to do tshuva? Was that to influence Paro? Was it that they would then Paro would then not listen to them and he would lump them together with Klal Yisrael? I mean, how would they have influence, like maybe the taskmasters, but what would be that scenario?
Right, so I guess not even necessarily that they'd influence Paro, but just for their own Olam Haba. In other words, you know, the Egyptians, every Egyptian deserves a shot at Olam Haba as well, right? And to the extent to which they do tshuva, even if they may not be in control. In other words, it's ultimately Paro's decision whether to let the Jews go or not. But they can decide whether they want to do tshuva. In other words, do I feel remorse that we enslaved the Jewish people? Do I say if it was up to me, I would let them go? And at least, you know, every Egyptian would be able to salvage his Olam, you know, through the tshuva that he would engage in. And God wants that. God wants the Egyptians to have that opportunity to be able to do that. He continues as follows. V'nei Oma HaKel Yisparach V'ani Aksha Eslev Paro She is Amets Lisbol HaMakos V'lo Yishalach Miyira HaMakos Es Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that he's going to harden Paro's heart such to give him the koach, the strength, to be able to stand up to the Makos and not simply send the Jewish people free because of the Makos. But again, as we said before, the ideal was to send the Jewish people free because of a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Leman shisi ososai eila bekirbo. And the Pasuk later on says that the purpose of the Makos was to place these signs in his midst, shemehem yakiru godly v'tuvi, that the Egyptians should recognize Hashem's greatness and goodness, v'yoshu be'ezo tshuva amitis hamitzrim. And the Svarna writes, and this way the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, should engage in a tshuva amitis, a true tshuva. Uleman tesaper Ato Yisrael harobit sarasam beozne bincha lodia shikol elo yifal kelim gever lashivo elov. Additionally, the Makos serve an additional point. What is that point? So the Pasuk says later on, at the beginning of Parshas Bo, that the Makos are meant to inspire the Jewish people. We quoted the Pasuk before. Laman tesaper beozne bincha ven bincha es asher yisalauti b'mitzrayim. That you should tell over to your children and to your children's children how I played with the Jewish people, with the Egyptians, rather, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, normally we understand that Pasuk is saying the Egyptians are basically an object. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is messing around with the Egyptians. And this will teach the Jews, you know, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See how he plays and he toys with these Egyptians. But the Svarno understands it in a very, very different fashion. The Svarno says HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Egyptians an opportunity to do tshuva. What are the Jews supposed to learn from that? The Jews are supposed to learn from that how anxious HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to get people to do tshuva, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends difficult times to a person to encourage him to do tshuva, and the Jews should look at the experience of the Egyptians and say to themselves, oh, so when I go through hard times in my life, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of trying to get me to do tshuva. V'zeh kishiyifash b'shu b'maaseyem b'vah aleim ezer poronus. As the Gemara says, if a person sees that he's going through hard times, yifash v'esh b'maaseyem, let him consider his deeds and think about how he can act in a better way. So the lesson of the Makos is for the Egyptians, but it's also for the Jews to teach them how a person is supposed to respond to catastrophe and difficulty. The right way to respond to that is to engage in tshuva. That's also part of what we learned from the Makos. So the Makos end up taking on a very different role, according to the Sfarno, than they're very often understood. They're not just a punishment for the Egyptians. They're not even a way of demonstrating God's greatness for the Jews. They are that. But they're a way of trying to awaken the Egyptians to do tshuva, and by extension, to remind the Jewish people that tshuva is always the right response to when we have difficult times that come our way in life. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu